All the world is one. Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where we're here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it wants and all it asks is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. So this is a place where you're welcome, where you're honored, where we respect who you are, for who you are, where whatever your background, whatever your self-naming, however you see and know yourself to be in the world, whether we used to go through the whole laundry list of those kinds of things, ethnicities and sexual identities and all of that, but the list just got too long. So now I just remind you that whoever you are, we love you and we honor you, and however you understand yourself, we support that and we honor that as well. And it kind of doesn't matter in terms of the ultimate, the big picture of things, because those are just individual expressions of the one, and rich and wonderful tapestry of the one as it shows up in life and as it shows up for us. So I'm very happy that you're with us, whether you're here right in front of me in this room or out there in the big wide world of the internet. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're participating, and invite you to keep coming back. So one of the things we talk about here a lot is what we believe. We are a philosophy that's about living according to the things we believe rather than according to what other people think we should believe, whatever those happen to be for you. So we like to describe and talk about our declarations of principles. What are the principles that this teaching is really about? And those principles show up in our declaration. They are from our founder, Ernest Holmes. This is a partial list. And listen up as our practitioners and others share it with you. Thank you. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. Them every week, but I'll talk about them again in case you hadn't heard. A practitioner is someone who studies this teaching and studies the principles and puts it to work in their lives in a way that brings about transformation and change and allows them to live more freely and more in line with who they are and what they desire. They also learn how to do this for other people and to work with other folks in finding those places in living your dreams. So today we're happy to have one of the practitioners with us who is here almost every Sunday in person, Barbara Guillory. Thank you, Barbara. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you guys. And of course, just this place, it just has a great, great feel to it. Thank you, Dr. Bob. Love that good looking shirt you got on. It's one of his pieces from Mexico, guys. This morning, I want to talk to you about an idea that I had to learn about when I initially came to the teaching. Very challenging for me. Divine order. So most of you know I was raised as a Catholic, and in the Catholic teaching, they teach you how to suffer, how to be a victim. I was very good at it. So you always look for the problem, and then you make yourself upset, and then you blame everyone else. That was the teaching. So imagine coming into this space. At that time, it was Science of Mind, and they're saying everything is in divine order. Well, in my life, there wasn't any divine order. In that teaching, there was no divine order for me. in that space. There was no divine order. And I continue coming and again, socializing the ideas and the concepts. And I can tell you, I started going to the classes, and it was through the classes I began to understand if you look for divine order, you will see divine order. So whatever it is that you perceive, that will be your experience. In order for you to experience divine order, you must be able to identify it. Not what's wrong, but divine order in and of itself. We've been trained traditionally to give our energy to fear versus knowing there's a divine order in which things are taking place. So the way that I've learned to settle myself, because again, when you come up on things that are not necessarily as we think they should be, then we got to know what is our purpose if we're called to a situation that we think is less than divine order. Were we called into that situation to bring peace? Were we called into that situation to bring healing? Were we called into that situation to bring love? We have to ask ourselves, when we get that call, when we answer that call, do we make ourselves that victim, or do we make ourselves part of the divine order that is taking place? I read a very interesting little note. It said, you're not born a winner. You're not born a loser. You're born a chooser. Kind of like that. So this morning, I want to ask you all to join me as we come together. We center our energies. We come into the space where we are. And we begin to focus on the idea of divine order. We come to know the universe as a divinity in and of itself. We come to know the universe to be in divine order. We come to know the universe as being magnificent, as being who and what it is, magnificent. We come knowing that the universe is all things from which all things are made. It is in this knowing, I come to know who I am. I come to know myself as part of this wonderful divinity. I come to know myself as part of this unfolding. I come to know myself as part of this greatness. I come to know myself in the role in which I exist, in the role in which I play here. As I realize my oneness here with the divine, I can answer the call upon my life, upon my energy, upon my knowing, upon my existence. I can answer the call for love. I can answer the call for healing. I can answer the call for peace, knowing that the divine and I are co-creators. As a co-creator with spirit, I create the love that is absent upon the conditions in which I look. As a co-creator with spirit, I can create the healing that is absent from the condition that I look upon. As a co-creator with spirit, I can create the love that is absent, that is needed, that is present simply by my focusing on the divine order. In looking at the divine order, I come to understand I'm looking at a process that is in a corrective mode. I come to trust this process as being a divinity in and of itself. For this wonderful understanding of the universe, its magnificence, and its divinity, I give thanks. And so it is.
Light to the world. That's a chant. It goes over and over again. As long as there has been language, human beings have been chanting as a way of settling in, going more to our own spaces within us. So I invite you to do something with me right now. No requirement. Just if you'd like to, take a 3 good deep breaths all the way down to your toes. We are talking today about our relationship with nature. And those 3 breaths just reset all kinds of things in your system if you did it. Physically, physiology, the physiology of you that gets reset with 3 breaths. Anytime things are going goofy, going off, you don't feel right, whatever, just stand still and take 3 breaths. Nature's got this once we realize that we're part of it. So did you enjoy your Shirin Yoku this morning? Did you know that you had a Shirin Yoku experience this morning? And I see all these puzzle faces in front of me. I love it. I like it when I find something you don't know about, which isn't often because you guys are a pretty smart group. Shirin Yoku is a Japanese practice that has become quite popular throughout Japan. And it's the same thing we used to do when I was a kid. When my granddad would say, "Let's go to the woods, kids. Things would get too hectic and chaotic." I grew up in Florida and there was without air conditioning, so it would get really hot in the summertime. And he would say, "Come on, we're going to the woods, cool off." And so we'd go down to the woods and we'd find a place and we'd have a picnic or we'd play or we'd do whatever we could under the trees because it was remarkably cooler under those trees. So Shirin Yoku is called forest bathing. And folks in Japan are practicing that regularly. There are folks here in Atlanta who offer forest bathing. A practitioner at one of our other centers here offers that as an event on weekends to come out to her place in the woods and forest bathe. Now, it doesn't mean you go take a bath in the woods. It means you just walk through and feel it. And I don't know about you, but when I walk into our entrance out here and I start moving through those trees, I'm having that experience, and so are you, whether you are aware of it or not, because it's an opportunity for the energy of the trees. There are all kinds of chemical things that are happening when you're under the trees that happen in your body consciously and unconsciously that have to do with restoring us to equilibrium, that have to do with calming us and bringing us into a quieter, calmer place. It's a beautiful thing. Have this quote from the 1940s. "The best remedy for those who are afraid, lonely or unafraid, is to go outside somewhere where they may be quite alone with the heavens, with nature, and with God. Because only then does one feel that all is as it should be and that the infinite wishes to see people happy amidst the simple beauty of nature." Just taking a walk. As long as this exists, it certainly always will, I know that there will always be comfort for every sorrow, whatever the circumstance may be. And I firmly believe that nature brings solace to all our troubles. That's from the Diary of Anne Frank. Surprising source, huh? Young woman who was quite brilliant beyond her years. See, we all have this opportunity, and I don't know about you, but nothing soothes me more than spending some time in the woods. Even if it's just a 30-minute walk, even if it's a chance to just go sit under a tree. Got a backache? Go back up to a pine tree. The energy flowing through that pine tree will realign your spine. The Native Americans have known that for years. There are all kinds of things that nature does for us if we are paying attention and interact with it. Ah, yes. It informs us. It opens us up for our creativity. Because most often when you're in nature, when you're walking around, if you're paying attention and seeing what's around you, then we shut off our chat brain, which is going through our grocery list or going through our do list or going through our what we didn't do that we should have done, or all those things that are coming up for us, or all those things that we wish we hadn't done that we did do, or we wish we didn't do that we did do. You know what I mean? You don't have that? I do. It just goes sometimes in my brain. And if I just start walking around under the trees and start paying attention, oh, look, there's a squirrel. Oh, look, there's another squirrel. A lot of squirrels in this area. Or there's a tree. Or look at the difference in the colors of green that I see. Just take a deep breath, those three big breaths, and breathe it in and be there. It does several things. It calms us, but it also opens us our creativity. So the next time we come back to look at that list or come to look at the problem we've been working on, it suddenly the solutions could be there because we've tapped into a different part of our brain, to a different part of our consciousness. The interesting power, one of my childhood heroes, because I read a story about him, I read all the biographies I could get my hands on in our little school library back in the dark ages, that we did have books, for those of you who wonder about my age. And I read all the biographies I could get my hands on. One of the ones that had the biggest impact on me was George Washington Carver. And I read about him and just became enamored by his process. He was a chemist, a scientist, brilliant, brilliant scientist and chemist. And when he would be working on something in his lab, in his at the school where he was teaching, and just got stuck, couldn't come up with the next thing, he would take a break and go take a walk in the woods. And his assistants and the folks working with him were often saying, well, he's out there, he'll be back whenever. Because he just didn't keep a real good schedule, because when he needed to get to the woods or get out into to nature, he took the time to do it. And thanks to him, we have peanut butter and we have pigments out of the earth that we would not know about. He found ways to turn the clay dirt of the South into many, many different products that allowed the South to come back and to become industrious again and industrial in ways that would not have happened without him. And he did that by sitting down in front of a plant and talking to it and then listening. Now that sounds wacky, right? Wacky and goofy. But you know what? When you do that, it can really make a difference. The shaman and medicine men in the Amazon have been doing that for eons. A lot of the medicines we have today were first discovered in the plants by those medicine men. And what they do is they spend their lives from young meditating in front of a particular plant and meditating until they finally get a sense of what it could do and what it's for. And then they begin the physical experimenting with it to see if it works. I worked with one down in the Amazon and he had a remedy that he had given his wife for cancer. And she had completely gone into remission. Later, some of those chemicals in that remedy were picked up by a major drug company. And suddenly the plants weren't as available because they were using them up. But for a while, he sat in front of those plants and got a deep sense of what would work and what would connect. He also had some remedies for diabetes and other things. I brought them back as much as I could, and I'm trusting that nobody's listening from the agriculture department, because I wasn't supposed to, because they weren't, you know, they weren't sterilized and tested or any of that stuff, but they were supposed to work. And for about 2 years, they did. They controlled that part of my experience. Now, is that because I believed in it? Maybe. or because it had some basic chemical reaction that made a difference. Maybe. But what we know is whichever way that works, it is our faith and it is our belief that really makes the difference and changes how we have these physical experiences and our connection with the natural world that we're part of already. One more example of those is Albert Einstein. He was the one who said, you know, you can't solve a problem at the same level of consciousness that it was started in. If you create a problem at this level of consciousness, you've got to rise above it and look at it from a different perspective. And his way of doing that was every afternoon, taking a walk in the woods. Not down the street, but in the woods. And there are stories of Ernest Holmes doing those walks with him at times. I haven't been able to verify that, so that may not be true. That may just be an urban myth. But it was, they were definitely in communication with each other. So that walk in nature, that time to simply relax and be, is so important. And we do it and we get it when we're out there in the natural world. So it gives us a recharge. One more thing from the Peruvians, and that is that they believe that our energies are all sort of in the masculine and feminine arena. And they're also the crossovers, but as far as physical energy, the Peruvians think of it in those two ways, or at least the ancient Peruvians. And that when we stand in the sun with our hearts open, our chests revealed, not naked, but revealed by being open, that we get the masculine energy and the energy that keeps us going, that gives our bodies moving and gives us stuff. When we stand in the shade, in the dark, in the quiet, in the cave, then the feminine energy bubbles up and gives us that nurturing ability to live and to be and to also great power, but just in a different way. It moves in circles rather than straight lines. And they practice that as part of their daily rituals and their daily actions and opportunities. Yeah. So every time you take a breath, you're having a relationship with nature and you're living in harmony with nature. But we often don't think about it. So why? Why bother? Why do we do it? Because it allows us to return to who we really are, what we're really about, and how we're divinely created. I don't know about you, but I live in a world where most of my water comes out of a bottle or the spigot, but usually a bottle. Can rarely drink water straight from the earth. Although a few weeks ago, we were in Florida on vacation and swam in Fannin Springs, which is millions of gallons of water bubbling up, and it's clean and pure, and you can drink it. I know I swallowed quite a bit, especially when I jumped in and hit the cold for the first time. You swallow it, you drink it, but it doesn't do you any harm. It feeds you. It energizes you. It's wonderful. But we live in a world where our water is bottled, our food is in plastic packages. So you rarely get a sense of the connection to nature. I have a feeling that if most of us had to get our meat off of the bone or off of the animal, we might not eat as much. I wouldn't. That's part of the reason I was a vegetarian for years, is I grew up shooting and killing and doing the things you had to do to put meat on the table. And after you see it all in all of those stages, you kind of don't want it. But neatly packaged and in the grocery store, it's a lot more appetizing and palatable. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as we keep clear that this is also part of our interaction with nature. I mean, I'm grateful I don't have to do all that stuff. I'm grateful to have those kinds of experiences with my food and with my water and with the air I can breathe. My recent trip to the West Coast was, I've spent a lot of time at our teen camp out in the mountains, and it's beautiful place, beautiful place. And it's in a part of Washington, or not Washington, Oregon, right near the line, where the air is coming straight in off of the Pacific. And even though it's several miles inland, there are no heavy pollutants between the ocean and that camp. And the first time, but one of the things people kept talking about is, wow, I can breathe. And that breathing feels so good. And it does. Because we are designed to work in harmony with nature. Because we are nature. We are animals. We are spirits. We are all of those things. And so our opportunity then to breathe and to participate in life is there. And even though we need to, there's nothing wrong with having made things more convenient, it is definitely in our benefit to not lose fact and track of where it all comes from, or to miss those opportunities of being in places where the natural is available. I took a men's group down the John River in Alaska back in 2008. It was a midlife retreat. I was the youngest one there, and I was already in my 60s. So it gives you an idea of midlife. Our oldest midlife guy was 85 on the trip. Another one was 80-something, 82, I think. So it was about six or seven of us, and we were not in midlife, but we had a wonderful retreat. But one of the coolest things is we're floating down this river on rafts. We have a crew of people cooking for us and doing all those wonderful things we didn't have to worry about, seeing the animals that we got to see, all of that. And when you got thirsty, you just dipped in the river and drank it. No problem. Pristine water, the way it's designed for us to be. That was worth the price of the trip. Because how rarely are we where our water is that clean and pure and available just from being around us in the world. It's so important that we give ourselves those experiences where we can be reminded. Because what it does is it takes us back to oneness. It takes us back to the idea that we are united with this universe. We are united with nature. We are not in opposition to it. It's a very unfortunate thing that in the story of creation, where it talks about human beings were finally created and then we became had dominance over the creation, and the idea was that we would take that dominance, and so we got to name all the animals. I mean, you know the myth from way back there. But what's sad about that is you can interpret that word for submitting, having the nature submit to us, if you as easily to mean cooperate and care for. Our job was to care for and nurture as keepers of Garden of Eden or the garden or nature. It's our job to be the keepers of nature, not to dominate it and rip everything we can out of it, because the more we do that, the less of it we can be in communion with. Now, I'm not going any further down that road. We're not going to get on a big political thing here, but what I am going to do is just invite you to take the time to enjoy the nature that's around us. Get out of our air conditioning for a little while at least. That's not easy. I know it's 1,001 degrees outside some days lately, and they say it's just getting hotter. But you know what happens when you get out in that heat and then you go walk under a tree? You can't experience that if you go right out of the air conditioning to the tree. When I was at teen camp, we had 90 degree weather some days, and it was hot, even for the Northwest. But you go stand under the trees, and it was amazing how much it cooled us down. But we couldn't experience that coming out of an air conditioner. You can only experience it coming down to 90 degrees. So it's there for us, and it's there for us to enjoy. There's a way in which nature can also take us deeper in our own lives, in our own experiences, in our own consciousness. Ernest Holmes says this: all of our memories of the past will be healed, and all the pent-up energies of unexpressed desires will flow out from us in joyful expression in our communion with nature, and with the spirit becomes complete. This is why quiet and secluded spots tend to rest us. But the only quiet and secluded spot in all the universe, and this is important, the only quiet and secluded spot in all the universe is in the center of our own being, where pure spirit resides. The quiet center of the universe is within each of us as we quietly go into that place through meditation, through prayer, through really moving into recognition of that within us which is real and true. Long ago, when I was still a Baptist and didn't know that meditating wasn't a sin, I snuck around and read a book by a Presbyterian called Kiss the Joy as It Flies. Beautiful book. And one of the exercises in that book, in kissing the joy, not holding on to it, just kissing it and letting it go, was an exercise for meditation with nature. And he didn't, I'm not sure he even called it meditation, but you sit down out in nature with some kind of natural thing, a plant, a flower. I picked a daylily because in our yard at that time, daylilies were in full bloom and they were beautiful. And I sat down for the first time in my life to meditate. And I did that by sitting down with my eyes open and looking at that lily, at that color, at the stamen, at the pistil, at all the parts of the lily that were just there. And all I concentrated on and focused on was that lily. Become one with the lily is part of what it talked about, which sounds a little goofy. But if you've ever done it, it can be a beautiful, relaxing, peaceful, and deepening experience. I will never forget that. It's formative in my life. For about an hour, didn't do anything else but study that lily. How it looked, the colors, the differences in the colors, the way the cells of the bloom itself, you could actually see the bigger ones and see the little clusters that held water and such. And the more I did that, the more peaceful and calm. This was a lot going on in the world at that time. We had just impeached the president and everything was in chaos and nobody knew what was going to happen next. But it didn't matter. For that hour, I was there, and I was here, and I was in my oneness. So I invite you to consider that for yourself. Find a way. Find some practices that work for you. See, here's the bottom line, and this was the original title of the day's talk, and that is that the reason all of this works so well for us in nature is that we are created of the same stuff. Everything physical in your body comes from the earth. All the chemical compounds, all the carbon, all of those things are created in you that form your body are from this planet we live on. And everything that energizes you and moves you and gets you going comes from the stars, from the light that enlivens and embellishes all of that physical stuff to bring you to life. And then spirit itself, the oneness that is not separate in any way, is that which brings you life and brings you joy and awakens that spiritual awareness within you that is you. It's all one thing. There's no separation. So when we say with Carl Sagan that we are made of star stuff, we are the way the universe knows itself. That is a deep truth. I invite you to meditate on it. I invite you to take it out to a plant or a flower and sit and talk to them about it and see what you get back. Imagination is a great thing. Just let it flow, let it go. Because you deserve that kind of joy in your life, that kind of freedom. Because you're wonderful. You truly are. And so am I. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. So, as you consider this wonderful CSL Midtown, and you consider its life and its movement, I would invite one of our board members and our treasurer, Vance, to come forward, Vance Blue, to share with you.
Thanks, Dr. Mm-hmm. Bob. An awesome talk this morning. And in this beautiful place we're in, so come join us in person. This is a beautiful in nature look out and see the green all around us. But so we can all, I'm going to do our affirmation of prosperity. We'll get the affirmation up here. You can donate at www.cslmidtown.org/donate or click on the QR code that'll take you there. And if you're here in person, you can drop money in the basket, checks or whatever. And you can set up ongoing donations on the website as well. So our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. To announcements.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Vance. Announcements. No, we're not doing that. The video's not playing today. It's just me. And not just me, it is me. So the exciting thing to me to announce today, and we've been talking about this already, is what Vance just said. We are here in person. We will continue to be here in person every Sunday for the foreseeable future. And I will be here about one Sunday a month. We'll have a different guest speaker to come and share so that you get to hear some other ideas as well. Our next guest speaker will be the end of August, because we already had one in July, and that will be Reverend Cynthia Polson. Reverend Cynthia McCarthy, you may remember her as, but she got married. So she will be back and sharing with us in a talk at that time. Also letting you know that beginning in September, I will begin a new class called The Everyday Mystic. And it is for learning to do this listening part of what we teach. We've done a lot of classes over the years in how to create, how to do things, how to breathe out, how to create better lives, how to increase prosperity, all of that. But this one is about how to listen and how to hear and how to be guided. So I invite you to consider it, and also know that this wonderful opportunity will continue on. We will continue doing classes through the year. The next one after this will be a prosperity class that I'm looking forward to taking, because to taking and to teaching, because I've never taught it before. So it'll be new information for me, which is exciting. And you'll hear a lot more about all of that going forward. Please, 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 if you are on Facebook, like us. If you are on Twitter, hashtag CSL_Midtown is our hashtag. Go there, like us, respond to us. If you are on Instagram, the same thing, CSL_Midtown. If you, and the reason for that is if you don't use that thing very much, go there and do it anyway, just for me, because you're wonderful people. Because the more likes we get, the more this word will get out to larger and larger places. The same is true on YouTube, YouTube Live. Go to our YouTube channel, like it, share it. If you know people who might enjoy the talks that you hear every Sunday, share them with them. And that helps us grow our online foot to get bigger and bigger and bigger out there. We have a lot of people already sharing and listening online, and we want to keep growing that. And I do believe that's all that I have for today is announcements. So I would just like to let you know that our closing affirmation is next. So you may share with me. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is. Thank you.